Praise the Lord, somebody. Praise the Lord. I would rather have Jesus than anything. Praise the Lord. For this is the day the Lord has made. So let us rejoice in it. Amen. Amen. It is a privilege and as well as a pleasure to be here today to express my sincere thanks to Pastor, to God for allowing us to still be alive, because it wasn't our time and his will for 2010 for us to go. So I praise God today. I mean, let's praise God. Let's praise him for life. I'm grateful to have the Presbyterian brothers and sisters who are, you become very, because once you come to a point in your life where you may not know if tomorrow you're going to be there, you begin to cling on to some of those people who shared those moments with you. So I'm glad that you're here today. And we're celebrating Haiti, but we're celebrating life, because we are among the living. And we embracing our past, but we're moving on. This is 7 years. This is 7 years. So it's a new beginning. Amen. So we're going to celebrate, embrace our past and celebrate our future, so we can move on and do what we need to do. Do what God has calling us to do in Haiti and other places. We were saved. We were spared for a reason. And it's a season now. And the time is here. Amen. As I said, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, my pastor, Reverend Darrell Armstrong, and my husband. I'm married, y'all. Mr. Benjamin. I think Haiti did a lot of changes. I followed Reverend Gerald. She came back and got married. Now I'm married. So we praise God for the changes that he has made in our life. That shows that no matter what somebody say, no matter what it looked like, God has the last say. Amen. Amen. Today our sermon text will come from Joshua 24:14. Joshua 24:14 in the Old Testament. Tradition is to stand for the word. Joshua 24:14 says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So the people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the people, including the Amorites, and dwell in the land. We also would serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." So Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." Now therefore, he said, "Put away the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant for them, a statute, and an ordinance in Shechem. Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a large stone and set it up under the oak. That way, by the sanctuary of the Lord, the word of God, for the people of God. Lord Jesus, I ask that you allow your Holy Spirit to come and stand in front of me, behind me, behind the cross, God, and allow your holy word to be heard, to sanctify, to satisfy, and to glorify. These and all prayers, we say thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You have a seat. The sermon title this morning is A Call to Serve. A Call to Serve. As I reflect back on 2010, we were on the mission trip, as you've heard so well so many times. And we had planned, and we had prepared for this trip. On January the 12th, 2010, the plan was laid out. We gathered and we made some sketches of different things, and everything was successful. That day, as I remember, as I recall, everything went above plan. Because when we got to the airport, customs was no problem. God was in control. It was a call to serve, most certainly, because God made sure that we went through custom without any problems or concerns. We got in a tap-tap pop, Pastor, and rode up with no problems. And as you heard Bruce said, we saw that we felt the rocks tapping the bus. And I said to Bruce, what's that? And he said, oh, it's an earthquake, just kiddingly. But we didn't know. But our plan was a divine plan, but we did not know that. We was doing what was customary. What we usually do every year, 2 years, is to go to Haiti and do mission work. And I must say that I enjoy going and doing the mission work, because when you're working within your gift, it's easy. You struggle when you work out of the gift that God has for you. You know that song said, your gift look good on you? Well, my gift look good on me. I love going to Haiti. I love going to other places. And I find comfort and compassion in working and doing things for people. Here, even in the city of Trenton, it's not just I'm going to Haiti. It's I'm going to Rowan Towers. It's I'm going to Bo Robinson Prison. It's I'm going to Good News Home for Women. Those things give me great joy and great pleasure. It's like I'm outside doing service, speaking to someone that passed by who may need to just hear a word. You see, this pulpit is, yes, for preaching. But my Bible tells me most people rather see a sermon than hear one. I'm out there giving a sermon. I'm very rarely at this desk. Can't keep up with my paper anyway. But I'm just delighted that I am chosen by God to serve him in the capacity that I serve him. And I also thank Pastor for recognizing, having discernment to see what we do and how it becomes a part of us and how it becomes a part of our life. Because if you're operating out of your gift, then you struggle. Sometimes you get frustrated. Don't think I don't get frustrated, but I do. But it goes, it flows. And I thank God for that. Well, today, this morning, Joshua had a call. He had a call to serve. And I have 3 points that I will talk about in this sermon. Point one is we were equipped. Point two, God had encouraged us. Point three, God enabled us. So what I'm saying right now is Joshua. I think everybody knows somewhat about Joshua. He was mentored by Moses. And Joshua had on-the-job training through Moses. So in other words, he was equipped to take over the responsibility. Joshua was equipped because he was also anointed. He was anointed, he was encouraged, and he was equipped by God to take over. You see, when you have the right motives in your heart and you have the right attitude of gratitude and you have a humble heart, it's very easy for you to move and transition into something else when God is moving you somewhere else to serve. Joshua was not stuck where he was. No, I'm here. I cannot do what Moses can do. We should not have that attitude. We just celebrated several numbers of officers in the church a couple weeks ago. And in that celebration, so many of them had great expectations of this new position. They walked around and they were ready to serve. They were encouraged to serve. And we as individuals must keep that encouragement, must keep that momentum alive in them. With Joshua, was that way. He was encouraged, but he also had a strong liking, a foundation to Moses. You know, sometimes when God is transitioning us from one place to the other, we get attached and we don't want to let go. And we miss out on our blessings. We're not supposed to stay in a one position or one place forever. If we do, we don't grow. When you're in service for the Lord, you're supposed to keep the mindset that today is a day that the Lord had made, and I will delight and be glad in it, but I'm here to do God's will and do it His way. So many of us take positions and we become burned out. We become no longer effective to ourselves and ineffective to everybody else. But when God sees that it's time, He sees the season is right, He gradually nudges us and pushes us out of the way. But that should not be. We should be attuned to the discernment of our own time, our own flesh, and our own mindset. We do have calendars, and we get our calendars, and we put things in them. I remember saying that I was going to retire at age 55 because I had a dear brother who passed away and didn't enjoy any of his 40 years of service. So I said, I'm going to retire at 55. God hears everything. Sometimes we are talking to ourselves and not to God. But he's a great dictator. He put it on a paper or whatever. He remembers. And I said I was going to retire when I become 55, not knowing that God was going to make it hot for me to retire. But I got out of there. praise the Lord. But we say things sometimes we don't mean. And we say things sometimes because we do mean that and wish that it would come true and keep our hope alive. But at 55, I retired, didn't know what I was going to do. Sitting over there in the fourth seat one Sunday, Pastor was saying, he was talking about Haiti and going over there. And I think this was 2008. And I'm sitting there, the Spirit just lifted me out of the chair. It lifted me literally out of the chair to say, Pastor, I will go. And that was the beginning. And that's what God is calling us to do. When we are equipped, we need to be available. You can have all the degrees, everything that you may need, but if you're not available, what good is it to you? And God cannot use it. I was available because I had retired. And that was the beginning of the Haiti, the relationship and the love of Haiti in 2008 with me. Yes, working under different missionaries, Mother Lord Stewart and Miss Audrey Kaufman, but once you become directly involved in anything, it should touch you. It should touch you. And Haiti and all the other places, Liberia and Ethiopia, all those places have touched me. So just as God equipped Joshua, he equipped me for what I am doing today. Just as those numbers, great numbers of individuals that is now new officers in the church, they went through extensive training to be equipped. I don't know how they lasted. Like every Thursday they was here for hours. But they were being equipped for the service. And that's what it takes to make an effective leader. That's what it takes to make a leader cares about the position that they're in and cares about the things that's involved in the position. You know, I love the Lord. And whenever there is a problem, that's who I look to. I look to God to give me the strength. If anyone thinks that they are the greater leader and don't need anything or anybody, then they're not living in reality. God is the one that keeps us. He's the sustainer. He's the deliverer. He's our provider. You know, Moses demonstrated a great, great, great character. When God said to Moses that you will look over at the promised land, but you won't go there. Moses looked over there, but Moses didn't stop. He was still serving God because he came back and he encouraged Joshua. Moses was a humble servant. He even went to the people to make sure they understood what the task that Joshua had to take. He wanted the people not to be disobedient anymore because they was already noted as stiff-necked people. So Moses stood in a position where most of us would have given up. I'm not going to the promised land. Who cares? I'm finished. I'm done. It's a new day. No, Moses stood in the position and gave Joshua the encouragement that he needed. In leadership, we are to encourage each other. No ministry belongs to any of us. To serve, we're serving God. We're not serving each other. We're serving God. And that is who the glory goes to. It belongs to God. We sometimes get frustrated because we might get bypassed, or someone might forget that to check with us about a certain particular thing. But we should not fret over those things. God said, fret not. We should take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Because I'm called director doesn't mean that my hand has to touch everything. When we are serving God, we don't serve God alone. We serve God with others. Joshua did not serve God alone. He had Caleb. Moses had Joshua. We are to take a team with us. I don't know if you realize it or not, but God is a team player. He established the game. He had 12 on his team in the beginning. We cannot serve God in a vacuum with one. We need someone else to bounce off our ideas to. So this is why it's utterly important for us to realize that the buck doesn't stop with us. We are a team. We are to train others. Each person should bring another along. That's encouraging. That will encourage you and that will help them perform the task that God has for you to form. Moses knew his days were short, and he wanted to make everything pleasant for Joshua. He knew the job that Joshua had to take. He knew the position that Joshua had to be in. So Moses did not just pass the baton without telling him where to go and how to do it and setting up some things for him. We need to encourage each other. God encouraged us to encourage others. It's not all about us. We are encouraged by God. And this is what the service is about. This is what Joshua was about. It was about an inheritance. The inheritance of promise. The inheritance of eternal life. You know, when we get complacent and don't think about others and thinking about ourselves, we miss our blessings. We miss our blessings because God bless us through others so others could bless others. So we need to always think about others rather than ourselves. God said that he was a God and he was a jealous God. So we should not, as we serve, take anything away from God. We should always give God his glory. Amen? We should always give God his glory. Now, God enabled Joshua. As he enabled Joshua, he enabled us on the mission team to move forward, When we came back down, Bruce immediately took the stand and we went to the UN. We did not quarrel or ask him any questions. We were a team, a divinely team on a divine mission by God. It was our mission. We planned. We made ourselves available. But it was God's mission because he knew what he had for us to do. So today, as I reflect on the enablement of the mission trip, we were equipped with doctors. We were equipped with everything that we needed to take care of the business at hand. See, God knew what he was doing. He knew that we would have doctors there. He knew that the hospitals and all the other facilities would be down. So we moved and we transitioned right in. We didn't hesitate. I'm not medically inclined, but I did pass out the medicine. Everybody was used. When we're in ministry, as Joshua, as Caleb, as Moses, we need to think. We need to think about our position. Think about our call. And think about how we can glorify God, not ourselves. God enables us to do his work, his way, and it's his mission. We are just the instrument used to bring the mission to fruition. So we are not to take everything to heart. When Joshua knew that he had to step up to the plate, the Lord came to him and reiterated what Moses said to him, that God will be with you just as he was with me. So when we transition out of a space, out of a place, out of a position, God would be with us as well as he would be with the person that's taken our place. We should encourage that person. We should also try to enable them to have the right perspective, to have the right mindset, to keep discernment, and to look to God for directions. Remember, Jesus encountered and used several people with tainted pasts and flawed lives. When we go into ministry, when we have a call, when we say God has called us, or someone has noticed that we have a call in our life and give life to that call, we should not stand back and say, I can't do it because of what's in my closet, or because of my educational background, or because of my speech impediment, like Moses had. We should step up, because God is going to enable you to do the job. He is going to supply all your needs. You won't have to worry about tomorrow, because God says He holds tomorrow in the palm of His hands. When we look at our lives and we think about the places that we have come and say that we cannot perform a position, that we cannot take a position because of our past, we are neglecting God. Remember, God is the greatest and the first transformer. He transforms our lives. I never thought I would be here today, not including 7 years ago. But God transformed our lives for His mission, for His will, and for His glory. As we go through the Bible, we see that there's the transforming power of Jesus was evident. As we look from the beginning to the end, I was going through when this came to my mind, and it said the transforming power of Jesus called Abraham at an old age to become the father of the nation. Elijah was transformed. Joseph was transformed from an abuser to an abandoned person to God's servant. Samson, as we know, was a womanizer. He was transformed. So when we look at the Bible and study it, we see that there's so many people, individuals that God transformed to do His work. When we're called to serve, we should not allow our personalities, our disappointments, those things that's hindering us, to stop us. Because if it's God's will, He's going to make a way. He's going to make a way. Never thought that I would be in the Masters of Divinity program at Palma Theological Seminary. I dropped out of my classes to raise my children. But here, God waited till I became in my mid-60s to send me back to school. You never know what God has for you. All He asks is for you to be available. Be available. We look at Rahab. Rahab is in the lineage of Jesus, but Rahab had a title put on her as the prostitute. Everybody said Rahab the prostitute. But Rahab is the grandmother of Jesus. She's in the lineage of Jesus. So we can't look at things and say that we cannot do it because of. Jeremiah said that he was too young. But God uses any age. Mother Lourdes Stewart was in her 90s. And God used her in a mighty way. And it's because of her and others that we are here today to celebrate this time. Listen, holding back on your gifts that God has gifted you doesn't bless God. You're blessing Satan. You're hurting Jesus. The Bible has several great men and women, many powerful leaders that He has chosen to serve Him. And see, when God chooses you to serve Him, you don't have to go through a political campaign. You don't have to go out and try to solicit votes. But you do need to get in the Word of God. You do need to seek His face. Any position, any task that you are elevated to, you need to know what it's about. But when God calls you to serve, He will equip you, He will enable you, and He will sustain you. God is a sovereign God. His ability is far beyond what we can ever imagine. And God uses ordinary people. Thank you. He always used ordinary people. And we have to understand that as we move and journey along our lives, we have to be in a position to move into whatever order that God has for us to move into. A call to serve from God requires availability and a willing heart to follow Him. God is looking for those who can become righteous as possible. He knows that we're not perfect. And He doesn't look at how pretty we are, or how cute we are, how short we are, or how tall we are. God is looking for the humble, submissive person to bring blessings to Him and to others. You see, when one follows God, it leads others to follow God. This is how a nation can truly have the peace and prosperity that we so long deserve. When we began to move into a political position, we began to leave God out. Sometimes when we move into political positions, we become ashamed of God. But when we move in political positions and keep God at our front of our discussion, our decisions, we begin to grow and mature and multiply in many ways in our ministries and in our political positions. You know, I used to cringe when I used to hear everybody says church and state. You can't do church and state. It does not mix. But in the Bible, God talks about Christians being the head and not the tail. God Himself talks about Christians being leaders everywhere. So if we can't be a leader in the state, then we know why Christie and our state is so messed up. We need to move out of our old way of what we were told and what we were taught and ask God for discernment. Discernment will help us understand where we need to go. I hesitated years of accepting a call because my father and the church where I grew up in said that women had no place in the pulpit. And I loved my father dearly, and what he said went. But that hindered not only me, I know it hindered others also. Because of what they knew, they passed their knowledge on to us. But when we know better, we learn, we need to apply it. And we need to let others know. Because we're hindering someone else's growth. We need to understand that God is a God of possibility. God says that everything is possible with Him. Today, God is still calling ordinary people to do His work. And He will assure us that He will be there with us. He said He would never leave us nor forsake us, that He would be there with us always. So why? Because we are ordinary people, we serve an ordinary God. God is whatever we need him to be. Wherever we need him to be, he is there. When we serve God, he will equip us, he will encourage us, and he will enable us. When we serve God, the will of his become our will. The mission of his become our mission. The practice that he asked us to do become our practice. We can't serve God without a humble heart. We can't serve God and not love the people that he loves. We can't serve God and do everything that we want to do and not think about others. Our pastor is a very humble man, and I love him. But sometimes I just say, God, he has the patience of Job. And he will wait, and he would wait, and he will wait. And I said, God, just give me some of that patience. You know, there's always room for growth no matter how old you are. And when we stop growing, we're fit for nothing. But Pastor is a very patient man and a very loving and kind man. But me being a person that likes to get the job done, I am a fireman. I like to put the fires out. I'm always ready to put that suit on and put the fires out. But two, I learned from my pastor to serve, you have to just wait on the Lord. He says, I'm waiting on the Lord. If God says so, it will be done. So I too is moving into a learning stage other than theology. I'm learning practical waiting like pastor does. I'm not going to dwell anymore on it, but you know, at our age, we had a lot of stuff going on, Pastor, so we can't wait too long. We're not as young as you are. We have more years behind us than we have ahead of us. So we have a charge to keep it, a God to glorify. We have things to do. But in order to serve the way God asks and mandate us to serve, we have to be patient. We have to love one another. We have to learn it's not our way, it's God's way. We have to know that I don't need to do it for it to get done. God always have a ram in the bush. He had Joshua for Moses. So as we move into 2017, let's take the team with us. Let's motivate others. Let's encourage others, some other young person, to take over and to do some of the things that you are doing so God can use us in other areas. You know, I was always one for pulling someone along beside me. And I worked for the city of Trenton under Ollie Green for 32 years. Ollie would give a mandate and I would have to follow it. But I followed it my way because I prayed and used my own discernment. And Ollie would come back and he says, if it doesn't work, you're going to be fired. I said, but Ollie, God has it. But God is a keeping God. We have to depend on God, but we have to be available and we have to do what we need to do to make things work. Well, yesterday I was with Ollie and I said I was going to be preaching today. And he said, well, my, you're just telling me I can't get there because I'm not as young as I used to be. Well, we're not young as we used to be either. But today I mentioned Ollie because Ollie was an encouraging individual. Ollie encouraged several people and enabled us to do things outside of the office. When I worked under Ollie Green, my phone rang 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when some senior citizen was displaced or put out or had a fire. And I would get there before he got there because that was my duty. So when he got there, I would be able to let him know the situation. So when you serve God, you are supposed to be on post as though you were employed by your employer. We have a tendency when we serve God to put things last. But God's supposed to be first. First in our lives. First things we say. Good morning, God. First in our life. But we think because we're supposed to give the first fruit, we're not supposed to give God our entirety. But as we move in 2017, I ask you to move into 2017 putting God first. Serving God, be the open servant that God would have you to be. It's not about finance. It's not about education. It's not about who you know or what you know. It's about your availability and being open to follow God's lead. To make an effective leader, to make an effective Christian, to be a good disciple, you have to forsake yourself and love God. And love his people. There will be times when you see people or meet people that don't look like you, smell like you, or even think like you, but they're God's people. We have to put aside ourselves and think about the charge that we have, the person that we are representing, and what our duties are. On mission trips, you have to leave all your self stuff at home because you are there to work for the Lord. You are there to help others. And this is my mission. This is my mission that God has given me. It's his ministry, but it's the mission that I am charged to. And today is the beginning of a new day for all of you. So I asked you to search your heart. Find out what your gift is. If you don't know what it is, just pray and ask God to reveal it to you. There's people in the street. You don't have to get on a plane and go to Haiti or Africa. But we have so much work to do right here in the city of Trenton. Today at 6 o'clock, we're scheduled to be at Bo Robinson. Yesterday, we were scheduled at Good News Home for Women. The soup kitchen is down the street. If we don't go out, the people are going to come in. Because God says it's a new day, and it's about his people. It's about God's kingdom. And if we move out of our comfort zone, out of our comfort chairs, and get in a position to serve, pray, and ask God to show you what he wants you to do, or where you're supposed to go, or what you're supposed to do and be, God will answer you. He is a prayer answering God. So as I leave and give the mic to Pastor, I ask you to search yourself. It's 12 months to a year, and this is the first month, to see where God has you. To see the ministry, the mission that God would like for you to go and be a part of. But if you take the charge, please be available. If you take the charge, please be equipable. If you take the charge, please be encourageable. Don't ever think that nobody can tell you anything new. We have to think about the time. We're in a new community here. At Shiloh, there's new people, there's different people, different cultures. God is not saying that we should be loyal or help and support one culture of a person because they all belong to God. So as I open the doors of the church today, I asked that is there anyone who like to give their heart to God? If there's anyone here that says it's 2017 and I want to make a new start, a fresh start. If anyone says that, yes, I have been doing this or that or the other. But today, I'm going to make a decision. Decision to follow Christ. Or a decision to become a part of a ministry. Or a decision to help someone. We have several people that's in need. And we don't have enough hands to help. So I ask you today, if you haven't made a New Year's resolution, maybe that could be one of the things that you could say. How can I be of help? How can I serve? When we're willing, God will open doors. God will open those doors. And He will allow you to serve Him the way that He should be served.
Prayer, if you don't mind. God, we thank you for what you have given us through this year. Preacher, Minister Noreen Burnett. We thank you, Father, for her faithfulness, and we ask now that the words that you gave her to preach would not fall on fallow ground, but that these words would continue to inspire hope and life and encouragement in the ears of these who have heard. We thank you already for those who have come forward. These ladies who are seeking and knocking, and you said if we seek the door, we shall find. If we knock, the door shall be open. So, dear Lord, we pray you continue to move and restore and break bondage and liberate and free your people, that we may all get closer to you. Have your way right now. There is someone else in the pews seeking a renewed relationship, seeking a first-time relationship with you. I pray that you will continue to prevail upon their hearts, their minds, their souls, and their spirits. We shall be ever careful, God, to give you the glory, praise, and honor. For you alone are worthy to be praised. In the name of Jesus, our Christ and Redeemer, we pray. Let the people of God say amen and amen. Listen, if there's anyone else who may feel that the Lord is stirring you right now, we invite you to come down the aisle. Give us your hand and give God your heart. If you want to join our church right now, this is the opportunity for you to do that as well. So either one, if you want to become a member, but more importantly, if you want to have a relationship with the Christ, we invite you to come forward right now. In the name of Jesus.
Where would I be if we had a sacrifice?
Oh, but I'm glad.
Oh, but I'm glad.
So glad.
So glad He did.
Listen, let's just say amen. As you look around, there are men, women, deacons and deaconess, clergy who are still standing. It is their task and their charge to continue to be resources for you to share the good news of the Lord Jesus. And so if there is a question that you may have about being a Christian, if there is a question you may have about membership, if there is a question that you may have about your life in the Lord, we invite you to grab one of these men or women who are standing, or you can come talk to me, and we all will be happy to continue to share this good news of the Lord Jesus with you. All right? God bless you. You may be seated. Deacons, deaconess, clergy, why don't you take your seat.